Daniel?
Ja, Ingo.
Longbow?
Was ist denn?
Hörst du mich?
Ja, ich höre dich.
Weißt du, was ich für ein Problem habe?
Erzähl's mir.
Irgendwie habe ich was davon gehört, dass du bald 50 Anniversary hast. Ist das so?
Du meinst 50. Episode?
Ja, vollkommen richtig.
Stimmt. Da war doch was.
Da stelle ich mir folgende Frage. Wer kann denn dein 50 Anniversary Episode Gast sein, außer derjenige, der schon fünfmal vorher da war? Wann machen wir denn endlich mal einen Termin aus? Digga, brennt dir der Helm? Da fließt mir der Draht aus der Mütze. Es kann doch nicht wahr sein, dass wir immer noch keinen Termin gemacht haben für die 50. Folge. Digga, deine Fans, The Football Cave, die erwarten einiges. Lass knacken.
Höhlenmenschen, aufpassen jetzt. 31. August, 18 Uhr. Da nehmen wir auf. Ingo ist mit am Start, mein Wingman und mein Sidekick, ihr wisst es. Und wir haben tolle Gäste, 4 Spieler der Solingen Paladins. Also, reinhören, zuhören, schön Bambule auf die Ohren. Viel Spaß.
Herzlich willkommen, liebe Höhlenmenschen, zur 50. Ausgabe vom The Football Cave. Das Jubiläum heute mit nicht nur einem, nicht zweien, nein, 4 Spieler der Solingen Paladins sind dabei. Natürlich euer normaler Host Longbow und sein Wingman Ingo Hübner. Herzlich willkommen zur 50. Ausgabe und dem Special von The Football Cave.
50. Was kann man zur Zahl 50 sagen? Das Internet schmeißt direkt eine interessante Zahl raus, und zwar ist 50 im Lateinischen der Buchstabe L. Ist das ein Zufall, dass dann die 50. Folge von Longbow, der ja mit L anfängt, dann diese Spezialfolge jetzt für euch dreht, oder war es doch reines Kalkül? Ich bin Dominik Rofalski, ich heiße euch herzlich willkommen zur 50. Folge von The Football Cave. In dieser Spezialfolge werden 4 Spieler der Solingen Paladins dabei sein, und kein geringerer als Longbows Wingman und Co-Host Ingo Hübner. Also von daher, seid gespannt, was diese Folge für euch bereithält. Ich bin auch gespannt und von daher wünsche ich euch ganz viel Spaß in der Höhle von Football Cave.
Hallo Höhlenmenschen, herzlich willkommen zum kleinen Jubiläum, der 50. Podcast des Football Caves mit Longbow. Heute erwarten euch gleich 4 Spieler der Solingen Paladins als Gäste und niemand anders als der Wingman eures Lieblingshosts, Ingo Hübner. Herzlichen Glückwunsch von mir zum Jubiläum und genießt die Show.
Herzlich willkommen, liebe Höhlenmenschen, zu dieser besonderen Folge von The Football Cave. Heute zum 50. Jubiläum zu Gast sind 4 Spieler der Solingen Paladins und außerdem kein geringerer als Longbows Wingman Ingo Hübner.
Hey everyone in the Football Cave, this is Coach Jeremy Bryson from the Stuttgart Surge. I want to congratulate Longbow on the 50th episode of the Football Cave. It's a great podcast, love listening to it, love being on there as many times as I have. I hope you enjoy this episode and continue to support Longbow and all your local football podcasts out there. Thank you so much.
Moin, willkommen in der Footballhöhle. Alter Vater, das ist hier voll in der Höhle. Warte mal, da vorne das Buffet nach links und die Getränke nach rechts, ne? Fassbier, wisst ihr ja. Entschuldigung, jetzt bin ich wieder da. Und die Jungs bitte draußen warten, noch nicht. Wie gesagt, ist voll hier. Longbow und Ingo haben die 50. Folge und dazu haben sie sich 4 Spiele der Solingen Paladins eingeladen. Und Alter, ich hab doch gesagt, draußen warten. Also, viel Spaß, geht los, ich geh mal wieder in meinen Waschsalon, da ist das deutlich entspannter. Viel Spaß und viel Erfolg. Moin.
Und waren das mal ein paar coole Ansagen für euch oder was? Mir sind bei den Vorbereitungen auf die heutige Folge als erstes nur 3 Worte eingefallen. Unglaublich. Unfassbar, unmöglich. Als ich dieses Projekt im November letzten Jahres begonnen habe, hätte ich nie gedacht, dass ich mich knapp 10 Monate später so wiederfinde. 50. Episode. Und was hatten wir alles für tolle Gäste in der Höhle? Egal ob GFL oder ELF. The Football Cave hatte sich fast alle und wer weiß, was die nächsten 50 Folgen noch so bereithalten. NFL und so. Ihr wisst Bescheid. In unserer Special-Ausgabe der Jubiläumsfolge haben wir jedenfalls keine Kosten und Mühen gescheut und stattdessen einfach mal den Sidekick dieses Podcasts und heutigen Co-Host gescheucht, Ingo Hübner. An dieser Stelle dir erstmal ein dickes Hallo und schön, dass du heute da bist.
Hallo Daniel, schön, dass ich dabei sein darf.
Und da wir beide diese Festivitäten nicht einfach so alleine abhalten wollten, haben wir uns was wirklich Feines für euch Höhlenmenschen da draußen einfallen lassen. Denn Dreier kann jeder. Aber wir wagen gleich die ganz große Runde. Denn für uns ist mit Import mehr als nur ein Wort. Und da wir heute bis zum Ende der heutigen Folge jede Menge Zeit haben, um uns zu entscheiden, ob der heutige Titel möglicherweise Ingo und die Imports heißen soll, stelle ich sie euch jetzt erstmal vor. Der Rest kommt dann ganz von ganz alleine. Herzlich willkommen Moses Harris, Noah Whittle, Andrew Rivera, Robert Cummings.
Hello.
What's going on, everybody?
Hello, this is Andre Rivera, defensive tackle, number 72. Just want to say congratulations on 50 episodes. You're doing an amazing job. I already knew who you were before I got here. That's something special right there alone.
Of course.
We just want to wish you a happy 50th.
Thank you. So, let's try just start with you
all
over
right
here.
Let's do it.
And maybe tell our fans and listeners a little bit about yourself, the age where you were born, and maybe about your career.
Okay. My name is Andre Rivera, as I just stated before. I wear number 72. It's my father's number. I play defensive tackle. I'm from Miami, Florida. I moved to Atlanta, Georgia when I was really, really young. I started playing football in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And continued my football career in Miami, where I graduated high school. From there, I was recruited to play Division II football at Fairmont State University in West Virginia. I played 3 seasons there, and then I transferred to a school in Alabama called Tuskegee University, where I won my first championship. Mm-hmm. And from there, I took 2 years off, and then I went on to play in Mexico in a league, the LFA, and the Soy Fam. I'm not sure if you've heard of them, but I played 2 seasons there and then got in touch with Ingo. And then from there, we, you know.
Okay.
Paladins. Paladins for life.
Paladins for life.
Paladins for life. I just you won a championship and just get in the next league with the Mexican team.
Yeah, I did. We, the first ever, the inaugural season for Soy Fam was my first season playing in Mexico. Mm-hmm. So it was the first year for the league, and of course all the teams were brand new. I think there was 5 teams total. Mm-hmm. And we ended up making it to the championship, and we won the championship for our first season, first mm-hmm. year, and then we got invited to move up to the LFA for the next season.
So you got a ring? A championship ring?
I do. Yeah.
You wear it every time or sometimes?
Sometimes my dad more than anything. So I my college championship ring my dad wears. Ooh. Okay. Because He really the reason, you know. Yeah. He got me there, you know. Okay. He called every school. He called about 50 schools to try to get me a scholarship. Sent my film to every school, and then you know, found a home for me. And then we ended up, you know, winning it. So I say we because, you know, he had a big part in that.
Okay. So just 2 more rings than I have.
Of course,
as everybody. A
couple more.
So what is feels like to be a champion, holding a trophy, holding that championship ring, like
it was. Yeah. That was actually a great feeling. I something I didn't experience until my very last year of what I thought would be my very last year playing football, my senior year of college. So to win a championship in my very last season. I played sports my whole life, every sport, soccer, baseball, football, basketball. I never won a championship. Mm-hmm. In my very last season of collegiate football, I won a championship. Yeah. So that was a great feeling. And then to do it on a professional level, it feels almost just as good because, you know, this takes a lot of work. It's hard to win a championship no matter where you are, no matter who you're playing. It doesn't matter. I feel like that's something that's, you know, takes a lot of hard work.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, our next guest. Who is it? It's Robert?
This is Robert.
Yeah. Yeah. Robert.
Okay, let me check this one here. So, okay. DB1. Tell us about
a little bit about you, maybe. How old are you? I guess 23?
Yes,
right?
Sir, 23.
my research is good. So, but I don't know which high school.
Central High School.
Okay.
In Macon, Georgia.
Ah, from Georgia.
Yes, okay. Sir.
Yeah. Just for our fans out there, I don't know if it's interesting, but I watch a Netflix series right now on the Georgia high school team.
Oh, Van Oster.
Yes, of course.
Coach on Russ.
Yeah. So,
good program.
And then you went to Benedict College, also in NCAA Division
II. Yes, sir, Division II, HBCU.
Yeah. But the most important thing, when I just take the research, is all-conference team.
Yes, sir.
And also regional NFL combine, that's right?
Yes, sir.
So, can you just explain, or our listeners maybe, yeah, what does that exactly mean? So, first of all, the all-conference team, and maybe then the combine.
Yes.
That's NFL.
Well, the all-conference team is based on the coach's decision on, like, I guess, the best player in each position.
Mm-hmm.
And the combine, I actually got invited to the combine after my senior year. It was 2020, but the combine got canceled because of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
So they held off for the combine, and then I think maybe 3 weeks before the combine, they sent us another invitation saying that the combine is basically going to happen again.
Mm-hmm.
So we took time to train a little bit. The combine was in Alabama. We went up there. It was like two CFL teams. It wasn't any NFL teams there because they didn't approve of, I guess, like their scouts coming because of COVID also.
Oh.
So we did a couple of drills. We ran a 40. 40 wasn't too good out there. we wasn't as prepared as we should have been. So the combine went pretty good also, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so, I don't know if I just tried the 40. That's good, so I don't know. okay. So which position is it in? Do you play? So we have a defense liner, we have two running backs, but who?
Defensive back.
Okay. Good. So that brings us to our next guest. I guess it's Moses. So here I got just a little more text from my research. So born in Pine Hill.
That's correct. Right.
Yeah. Okay. And then maybe correct me if I'm wrong. You played running back and cornerback at Overbrook High School.
Correct.
Okay. How is it in America? So in high school, maybe in college, I have guests also from the States. It tells me they played two positions,
both
in the offense
ways.
And in the defense.
Yeah, and in high school, it's very common in the States that you play both ways. We had a small high school, so we didn't have a lot of guys. Everyone on the team played both ways in all special teams.
Okay. So you could maybe play that in here in Zoling?
Of course, if need be. But we got Bobby for that.
Okay. Okay. So then it goes to... Castleton University.
Correct, Castleton.
For 4 years maybe. So it's a college, university?
Yeah, university.
Okay. Maybe something interesting about that? I know the interesting part is coming, so I know it. But no, man, no.
I was a three-time all-conference running back at Castleton. I have 12 school records at Castleton as well.
Of course, yeah, that's it.
They really helped me develop as a running back and take my game to the next level.
Yeah, because I've just read that you were judged maybe to be too thin for high school.
Yeah.
But what happened then? It's loaded or
my junior year of high school, I decided that I would take lifting weights seriously. So every day I was in the gym just working as hard as I could from there all the way to Castleton, and then I was lifting maybe two or three times a day, and they were helping me. The strength program there was really good.
Told us you have a breakout year maybe, so rookie of the year and all-time record for running yards,
all-purpose yards.
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
So and then that's also spectacular, you're going to France. I don't know how to spell in France, Le Dauphin de Nice, so it's called Dauphins.
Yes, correct.
Dauphins,
yeah.
Second league in France. That's interesting, you played running back, strong and free safety?
Correct.
God, three positions in one person. How that going in the second league in Europe? I mean, I don't know. For me, it was hard to play one position. So, or one snap, maybe. Or three. Okay, so do you think you're better offense or better defense player? I guess better offense.
I think I'm a better offense player.
So, and that's what's spectacular in France. 5 games, 1,400 yards and 19 touchdowns.
Correct.
Okay. You have a good
yeah, so it's definitely a crazy record.
Of course, it makes me speechless. After I read that, I read it again and say, okay, it's 1,400. Okay, 1,400. It's okay. So, number 4 here right now, Mr. Noah Whittle, second sir. Running back, or also running back. I'm sorry.
Yes,
so, what I have right here, born in Westchester.
Yep.
I know Westchester, but because of what?
Westchester
is located right above Manhattan, so this is right above the five boroughs.
Ah.
So right above Queens, Brooklyn.
Ah.
Shout out the city.
Okay.
Shout out the city.
Hey man, you gotta talk
okay.
later, man.
So yeah, you start. I don't know about the high school. I only have here Avery Community College in Buffalo.
Yeah. So my story is really unique. I feel like I definitely my story is I said my story is very unique.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I definitely made some mistakes that made me who I am now, and definitely, you know, able to learn from them.
Okay.
I went to high school at Edgemont, and then from there, I went to a JUCO, Erie Community College, and I was starting running back off the gate. I ran a 4.34 at my 40 time, and I was the only freshman starting. And from there, in the summertime, I joined a track club called Proving Elite, and I was making money. And the NCAA found out, and it was just hard for me to make that transfer into another school.
Mm-hmm.
And that summer, I decided, you know, I didn't really want to play any semi-pro or finish my spring ball. I'm just going to jump right into professional. Okay. And that's when I went to Poland and then Germany, likewise, Nuremberg.
Paris. So you also had to make the decision Buffalo because you could be closer to your family.
Right,
so
right. Yeah,
you say your family. Person.
Yeah, upstate New York. So it was still a little bit far away, but it was still in the same state to be in New York. But from there, I feel like going out to Europe was definitely a better step and definitely matured me because I was still really young. I went out to Poland when I was 21, and I was the number one running back. Ran for over 1,000 yards, broke a record for most rushing yards in a game.
Oh, yeah. In Nuremberg?
In Poland as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And we went to the championship, but we played against a great quarterback, Chris Jeffrey, who's well-known in Germany and other places. But
okay.
it was a great championship, and you know, it was just my first championship that we lost.
Yeah.
And I was just lucky to go to Nuremberg. I knew that Germany is the best place as far as competition and tradition to play. So Nuremberg picked me up, and I ran for over 1,000 yards over there as well, and broke a record. And it was great to be that guy and to, you know, to finally be cherished when I really wanted to, you know, in the past. But due to certain circumstances, you know, I wasn't able to do that. But you know, God is great, and you know, I'm healthy and young, so. You know, I'm ready definitely to take full advantage of, you know, everything that's coming at me now. So, Poland, Germany, those were two great programs, you know, two great championships, unfortunately lost. But, you know, I'm with a great group of imports now. You know, everybody's dogs, everybody has their own talent. Everybody knows the Mo Greats and RC7 and Andre Revere, you know what I'm saying? So everybody is happy. So you know, it's a good thing.
Yeah, that's the thing about. Let's talk about maybe Mo just said. How can I play it now? So your opinion, the best football in Europe is playing in Germany.
Correct.
Okay,
I think so.
So what is it about? Why Germany? I mean, we have other states like Italy. It's maybe it's good. Sweden or Germany? So
I feel like the GFL is the most well-known league.
Mm-hmm.
And the tradition of playing football here has been going on for years. There's football everywhere, of course, but this is the most known league. Mm-hmm. So if you're in the States and you want to play football in Europe, you know that you should go to Germany if you want to get some film.
Okay. But it's very hard for a German guy to go to the NFL.
it's hard for us. It's hard for all of us to get to the NFL. That's the goal. Yeah. That's the dream. But
we have some. So
they have the pathway now, though.
Yeah, exactly. Of course.
Yeah.
It's definitely helping out a lot.
They're making it where, you know, it's easier to discover the talent.
Yeah.
Right, you know.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's
so
a big deal.
Yeah. I don't know if I call him my man, but it's I forgot his name. I'm sorry. From Stuttgart. Number 47 from the Patriots.
Oh yeah. I knew you were talking about the fullback.
He got
his name. Jacob Johnson, of course. I'm sorry. Jacob,
he played
at
Tennessee as well.
Maybe so for my opinion, I'm just that close maybe for an interview with a player from the Rams, so from it's not Italy, but he speaks German. It's Maximilian Plücher from the Passwork program.
Okay.
I just wrote with the PR manager.
Right.
I hope it works.
Yeah, good luck with that.
That should be good.
Right, that'd be cool.
Yeah, so you guys, what do you think about American football in Germany? So the league, the program, maybe also the youth work. Also for you, I just read that you have
I've been coaching been coaching youth football since I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Started down in Miami. My dad was coaching football down in Gould's Park, and I was a sophomore, junior in high school, and he came to me. He was like, "Hey man," we had 8-year-old kids. He said, "Hey man, I need a defensive coordinator." And I looked at him like, "I don't know how to coach football." And he was like, "Well, we go. We took a group of kids that had never played football before. We put them together, and I taught them the defense that I was currently learning. I had just moved down to Miami, learned a new defense. It was a 3-3-5 stack. I showed the little 8-year-old kids, and they took off with it. So, that's definitely one of my passions is coaching youth football. But one thing I will say is that all programs, like I feel like when it comes to a country and the football, it always starts with the youth. Like if you can get people, if you can get plugged in with the youth at a young age or early and teach them or just instill a little, it's really just the hard work at that age. Mm-hmm. Instill the hard work. If you can instill hard work into kids at a young age, the rest, like the will to learn will come with the hard work. So I think that's one thing I see here, you know, because I get on the bus and I'm riding the bus and I see kids getting on and off the bus with shoulder pads and it's the kids from the Paladins and you know, and I recognize them, and that's you know, that takes commitment to get on a bus to go to football practice, sweat, get back on the bus and then go home.
Yeah.
You know, that takes a good amount of commitment.
Yeah, I find that a big respect, and the fact that I was in South Germany and also up north in Germany and seeing the same thing.
Yeah.
It's like
it's culture.
These guys are taking sacrifices.
Right.
Because there's no at least in the States, we play for a school and that same school has a football team. So we really don't have to go anywhere. As soon as class is over, we can go straight
to practice. Right.
Everything is in order. You know, so it's a big respect for the guys, especially the older guys, the seniors, you know, taking the time out their work lives, you know, family, friends, weddings, holidays, you know, stuff like that to be with us for a short amount of time. So it's like, and they've been doing it for a long time, so it's a respect, and it's definitely a culture change to see it. Yeah.
Anyone else?
I want to say I believe that if Germany had college football, then there would be 10 times as more German athletes probably in the NFL.
Yes. So does anyone of you play the flag football?
Of course. That's a big man's dream. You get to flag football, you're not a lineman anymore. That's the goal. You know? Score some touchdowns. Catch some passes, man.
So do you think it's important for every youth just to play flag football?
Flag?
Just to learn how to play football?
I'd say so.
I don't agree, because my first year playing football was at the age of 7, and that was straight tackle. I never played flag.
But did you play sports prior to flag football?
Not football.
You play, I played football baseball. Was your first sport?
Baseball was my first sport. I played baseball. And then my first year of football just was tapping.
You gotta be happy though, Bobby.
It does change.
Can't just jump in that thing like that.
Bro, I taught myself, bro.
Hey, you know how many, look, see, that right there, that'll get you sit home crying that one day and lose all your will to play, bro. Get going out there.
It's straight tackle.
Get hit. Ain't used to getting hit.
I feel like flag football is kind of setting kids up to be soft as well.
Yeah, because teach you not.
You're not tackling or doing hitting. You're just going out there and grabbing the flag. So when you do put the pads on, you scared to kind of hit the person because you've never done it before.
I agree, but I will say this though.
It's good for the brain though.
I think personally, from my personal experience, it's harder to pull a flag than it is to make a tackle.
No.
What? You crazy? Taking something off somebody's hip? You grabbing something off somebody's hip rather than tackling them to the ground? Come on. It takes more hand-eye coordination to pull a flag. Than it does to make a tackle.
There's three flags swinging around.
It was going to say head alcohol. No. All
right, well, y'all boys, let me put a flag on, see if y'all get it off my hip.
Bro, I'm going to pull that right off you.
You're going to tie it. You probably want to go.
Nah, I'm saying just the clip. Well, I said personal. That's why I said personal experience. Personally, it's harder to pull a flag for me than it is to make a tackle.
They have adult pro, clubs in Atlanta.
Of course, they got the physical, real flag. We got the blocking.
The rough touch.
We tackling our league.
Rough touch. It's still a flag. Yeah. Yeah.
If you going for the flag, you
can hit a little bit.
Right.
But here in Germany, it's a little bit easier to start with playing flag football because in the normal teams here in Germany, it's only allowed to start football at the age of 10 or 13.
So you could go on the field,
play a little bit light football and flag football at the age of 7 or 8 to grab up some flags to get a little bit more...
used to the rules.
You get a good mindset about football. Yeah.
Right.
And then you're going from a flag team to your U10 or U13 team.
Yeah.
I think that's a big difference between the States and Germany because I saw so many documentaries on Netflix or Instagram or something like this where youth players are playing in the States at the age of 7 or 8 full contact football.
Right.
In Germany, the most clubs do it at 10 or 13.
Okay.
So in Germany, it's the easiest way to step into football on the way above flag football.
It's funny because when I was young, I remember playing flag football and my older brothers were playing tackle. And I was always like crying after practice because I wanted to play tackle.
Mm-hmm.
So I started in third grade. So it's just funny, like the age difference. Yeah.
So let me ask y'all this though. If you think about this though, for me, like in America, you really get the toughness and like the actual physical. You get that from playing with a bottle in the street, or in after, like if you play football or play baseball. Let's say for example, after a baseball game, we would find a Gatorade bottle, you throw it in the air, you catch the bottle, and you try to run to the end zone, and everybody's trying to tackle you. I'm like good 15,
kill the carrier.
Yeah, throw them up, bust
kill
them up.
Kill the man.
There you go,
throw them up, and
bust
run.
Them up. 15 people trying to chase you down and hit you with this bottle, and everybody going for this one bottle, and that's kind of like we play in the streets. You play in the street for hours, 3 or 4 hours, back to back, back to back. You getting tackled, you know, holes in your socks. You know, that's kind of how like you get the you know, when you put your equipment on, it's different because we're used to hitting people with nothing.
With nothing on.
You're tackling people with nothing on, and then you're getting ran over by big kids. Like so, you the age can range from 4. To like 15, and everybody's playing together. Mm. And then the 4-year-old get the ball, you might be pushing him over.
You got a 4-year-old score.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You maybe push him over, but you let him run for a little bit. But that's kind of like where you get your confidence and all that. You know, and getting picked by, you know, different guys and splitting it up. You know, you kind of get a lot of the flag football. That's probably our flag football right there. We don't really play flag to get the technique, you know. You kind of get taught that from your coaches.
Flag is more for fun.
Right.
So, listeners, I'm just here. But no problem. But do you think maybe the difference between also Germany and the States, like in high school or college, you have such a big court. You have the school, you have, like you said, you have a training camp, you have a court for football, anything like that. I couldn't remember when I was 16, 17, starting playing football or in school, just to go to the gym at the same time or in the same week on that same place.
Right.
So that's maybe. Everything together.
Right. Yeah.
You have football, you have the gym, you have everything.
Yeah, my high school head coach was the strength and conditioning coach for the school.
Mm-hmm.
So my last period of school was weightlifting.
Mm-hmm.
So from weightlifting, I would go straight to practice.
Mm-hmm.
And then from practice, I would go home. But literally the last class of the day, mm-hmm. you with your head coach, you see him.
Yeah.
Then you go get dressed for practice, and then you practice. So yeah, everything is is literally right there. Weight room, everything.
Okay, so are there moments in your active current career right now you just never forget, like a touchdown, like a sack, like everything, a championship maybe, I don't know.
I forget everything.
I don't think that you forgot everything. I think every player have
everybody has a special moment.
So take your round and talk to guys from the football cave about your special moment.
Yeah.
Yo, who gonna start it off?
You know who gonna start it off.
I got
maybe
my
quarterback
sack,
maybe.
Okay. Alright, well I would say it would have to be college championship, our college championship game. We were down, I think, like 49-42, something like that. You hear how high the score is. It was like 49-42. The defense had just got to stop, put the offense back on the field. The last drive of the game, I couldn't tell you what happened. I went to the 50-yard line. I stood on the knee. I took a knee, and I closed my eyes for the last minute of the game. And I just remember hearing the not opening my eyes, knowing that, you know, it was something bad that happened. And then just out of nowhere, I just heard just cheering. I heard the whole crowd behind me going crazy. And it was literally just like, as I peeked my eye open, I saw my teammate running into the end zone. And we had just went up, and there was maybe like 13 seconds to go in the game. And then that's when I knew we were going to win. And that moment for me, I still remember it to this day, because I remember peeking my eye open just to see what was going on and us running into the end zone. So that's probably one of my favorite moments.
Okay.
For myself, I mean, other than catching the ball in 3 seconds to win the Lubeck game.
Okay.
Man, other than that's it. Probably going to Poland and running. Getting another game-winning touchdown against the Kazi Goats. That was a pretty cool game. We were tied up. That was the game in order to play a championship. And it was a 33 comeback. And I ran it to the right side. And there was a really good linebacker. Man, I wish I remember his name. But, you know, me and him were going at it all game. And I just managed just to bounce off and still be able to keep running and score the game-winning touchdown in order to go to the championship. So that was really cool. And to be in my first year in Europe, that was definitely something memorable. So
for you, maybe?
For me, it would be college as well. My first collegiate touchdown, my freshman year at an away game, Salve Regina. We were losing the game. We lost the game. So I was second string at this time. I was the backup. And my coach told me to get in the game. The game was basically lost already, but my coach wanted to see if I could play. So he put me in the game. I don't remember what the play was, but I know I broke through the middle, and it was my first touchdown. And I never forget it because I celebrated, I flexed, and my running back coach yelled at me on the sideline. It was like, if I ever catch you flexing again, I'm going to take that jersey right off you. So it was very memorable for me because it was my first touchdown. Because a lot of people didn't think I would play college football, so it was good to get there, and just the score was, you know, amazing. You know, I was blessed. God bless me. So,
For you, maybe any moment, maybe the combine if it could start.
Nah, he got plays before that.
Yeah,
I want to save mine as a play. I will never forget when I got recruited by the University of Georgia for football, and I was actually, we were playing the baseball game, it was a playoff baseball game. We were playing against Carrollton, Georgia. They had a receiver that ended up signing with the University of Georgia. He played baseball, and the game, we played a doubleheader, and I think I had like 4 diving catches, and I had like 4 stolen bases, And I was the only player, like, really that was getting on base and scoring. And then I would say, like, I think it was, like, that following Wednesday, Coach John Lilly, he was coaching the tight ends at the University of Georgia. He came to my high school, got me out of class, and we would just walk around school talking. So I would probably say that was, like, my most memorable moment.
Okay. So I don't know if I told that my fans before, but just for you, my memorable moment, it was when our running back fumbled the ball. I catch it and take it for maybe 4 or 5 yards. That's it.
No touchdown, but 40 to 50 yards.
Did you see it on the stat sheet? Did you see your yards when you looked at the stats, the game stats?
I don't know. I just can't remember. Everything I remember is grabbing the ball and
running.
Big man, just go. Run.
Still
run. So that's it. So.
What about you, Ingo?
Yeah. What about you?
Most memorable. So. About me. I think my special moment in my football career, I think I could not say football career.
It was against Essen.
No.
Play it again.
No, Essen was a good game.
It was my moment.
Because it was my last game. but I think my special moment was my first game to play an inside linebacker. It was a friendship game. We called it Europapokal, Europe Championship. But it's not a Europe Championship. It's only a friendship game between, I think, five teams from North Rhine-Westphalia on one day. It was my first day. Coach Tim bring me in for inside linebacker. I crashed my glasses in the practice, so I couldn't see anything. but I was on the right position to pick an interception.
Okay.
Then I run the whole field and I stop at a red line on the field. And I crashed the ball on the ground. And everyone was shouting, "Oh, fuck off, you are not on the 10. You have to run 10 more yards." That was my first game. And I got the ball again. And my pickets, that's one of my greatest in football.
At least you redeemed yourself.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Blame the glasses, though. Yeah. There's no glasses. I couldn't see.
But it works.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Still got a touchdown, man.
Yeah, so matters. That's the truth. That's the most important. Take potential.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know, but I remember the one offensive lineman from the Patriots.
Yeah.
The big man just run about.
Kick off the tire.
Yeah, kick off the tire for 60, 70 yards and then break it up. That's it. So if I could do that, I don't know. Maybe I get a chance next year. No, but we talk about that. Huh?
Yeah.
So you ask me if I just want to play again.
Okay.
But I say, my heart says yes, but I'm 41. My body says no. So I got to ask, what is it? ACL or TCL?
ACL.
ACL on the knee.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
It's over.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm making the podcast. Yeah. Let's see what we have here right now. Maybe what kind of how's your week? So typical week, like practice, free time, food, in the gym, maybe. So how's it going here?
This is the dungeon. You're in the dungeon right now.
Yeah. I would say one thing I will say that's really rare, just from experience, is the four of us is we always together. Like, it never fails. We're always at some point in the day, we're always together. We get along really well. We eat together, we fellowship together. Whenever a conversation gets good, we're all in here, we're into it. But I would say a typical day, and we all wake up at different times, so sometimes we're crossing paths, but at some point in the day, I say everybody is gonna get up and work out, everybody's gonna eat, everybody's gonna shower. On Mondays, we go to the grocery store. It's like a routine. We all wake up on Mondays, and at different times, we all go to the grocery store. On practice days, I would say around like 5:30-ish, you'll probably catch everybody in the living room, what I'm saying? Maybe chop it up for a little bit, and then we all, get ready. We go get tested together for the most part, you know what I'm saying? So I'll say one thing.
It's an order.
Yeah, it's not like we do it at different times, but at some point in the day, it's going to get done,
Okay.
So, and then occasionally we like to go to the field and everything as well, and we kind of just help each other, if Noah want to run routes, me and Bobby will both go. If Bobby want to work some, field work, then me and Noah will both go, something like that. Mo would like to keep his weight on. So, too much walking and riding, but, we do it with a bodybuilder. So that is a little,
not a bodybuilder. I still can move a little bit. These still open up. I still run when I got to. That's it.
So,
but I need to.
Who could be the one who sleeps the most? I don't know. Maybe it's Mo? No?
Cap. Or maybe Mo with him.
What I'll do is I'll try and be a night owl, but it doesn't really work out. Okay. And it comes to defeat me in the morning.
In your defense, Mo is a close second, man. Mo is a close second. He ain't too far off now.
Okay.
I guess it's an offensive thing. We work.
What about your free time? So no practice, no workouts. So what is it you do the most? Loudest, maybe? Sleep?
Eat something? I say Sundays are the days where we really just
that's
I think just lay around. Okay, right? Relax. Yeah, we just watch football. Mm.
Yeah, course, yeah. We play Warzone, for sure. A lot of Warzone. Definitely Warzone. A lot of Warzone. A lot of Fortnite.
But there's some things that don't even really need to be said just because, like, this is a job, too, as well. You know, like, we're athletes. So, like, you know, everybody comes in. Like, we work out. Like, if we see anything garbage, anything. I think we had one problem with the order of the garbage cans. That was really funny. But,
yeah, who won the yellow one?
That was really different. Yeah. It was all the way down to the point where the neighbors next door knocked on the door.
It's like, trash day is Monday. Yeah. It's Monday.
Well, we figured it out, and, you know,
I know that problem too.
Yeah. And another thing I'll say is I feel like we all hold each other accountable too. Like, even if, you know, if you say it a certain way, like, I know I've heard personally, I've had where Bobby will be like, hey, Dre, you been eating a lot of you know what I'm saying? Hey, boy, you been eating a lot of chips and candy, lady. Boy, you going in, ain't you? You know, and I take that in my head. I'm like, all right, Bobby saying I need to slow down a little bit. Let me go get a workout here. You know what I'm saying? I said, let me go work out here, or something like that. Or, you know, so I think that's definitely a good thing, though, man. Where you got to hold each other accountable, because we all here for the, you know, for the same reason. And, you know, we all go out there to battle with each other, right, on Saturdays and Sundays. So, you know, but that's one thing that I did find funny. Well, I see you upstairs in a minute. You can go work out with me. So I think I thought that was really cool, though.
You have some special German food, maybe, you like the most? The taste? So, like, anything, like, I don't know, schnitzel?
I was just about to say schnitzel!
Hollandaise pizza.
Pizza?
Hollandaise with the chicken, though. Hollandaise. Chicken, take the ham off, with the chicken, yeah. Put some onions on there, yeah.
Okay. But, what it is? Turkish spot.
Yeah. Belly. Oh, I don't even do the body. I don't have my fair share. I get to the point now, they don't even put it in the box no more. They put it in the big.
They put it in the to-go box. They see our face.
Yep, you walk in, they say, and then they just start making the food.
That's
true. You go to the one by the Hoppenhof, the main station? You know, the one that's on the inside?
Yep.
Yeah, you're pretty good.
Shout out to them.
Well, whatever their name is. That's right.
So, you
know,
yeah. You
know their name.
Do you think food is important? I say that food, for me, it's a very important.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's the food.
That's a chef trait, right?
There's a huge difference in the food.
Yeah.
By the way, there's a huge difference in the food between the food here and the food in the States.
Yeah, it's
completely different. It's cleaner. Yeah, a lot leaner.
It's cleaner, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. And cheaper. And cheaper.
Right.
For sure.
Okay. So, what do you think, what happened after your career, maybe? Coaching or youth trainer or something like for you, maybe?
For sure. All the above.
I'm going to Georgia and being a professional scouting.
I was scouting for that is a pretty cool job, man. I will say that. You know, you get in contact with a lot of different collegiate athletes. Get in contact with a lot of different collegiate athletes and just presenting an opportunity is really, really cool. So there's Arkansas State University in Mexico right now, and my running back and special teams coach got the head coaching job.
Mm-hmm.
And their situation is pretty unique because the kids that are playing on that college now have been with that program since they were 4 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So this is their first season being eligible to actually play as college students. And he was looking for a couple athletes, you know, from the States. So I actually got to talk to some high school students about, you know, potentially going and playing over in Mexico, mm-hmm. playing college ball and getting a full scholarship. So that was pretty cool. I did find two guys, but the two guys that I did find, you know, it's a different situation to leave, you know, your country at 17, 18 years old and to leave and to go play college ball. So it's a little different for the inmates to go to college. But the opportunity alone was just, that's a great opportunity to be
recruited. Yeah,
a college in Mexico, yeah, you know. Yeah, bro, that's the same thing I was thinking. So that was pretty cool for me to be able to talk to some guys.
Okay, what else? I don't know.
I mean, this is top recruiter right here.
One of the challenges is going to be the Ingo in America.
Oh, exactly.
Exactly what you're doing. Next step. So,
I did.
You proud?
Yeah. President of Mexico.
Go find him on his hats.
Yeah. The next big thing.
That's 100% true, what Andre said, because I'm very happy to give guys of you from overseas opportunity to play in Germany. For me, it's a big pleasure to get in contact with so many different guys, to make a list from number 1 to number 10, to find the right decision with the rest of the coaches, who's the right guy, who plays our system, who's the right guy to... So the best example, and you know, we are looking for two different running backs, and I think we find two different running backs if you could find.
Right.
Because you are the massive one for the hard pressure guys, you give a stiff arm, you tackle them, open field, you are a massive guy. And Noah, you are the shaky man too in the middle, yeah.
Right.
So for me, it's very good to talk with so many different American guys to find out who's the right guy for our team. But I think what's the most interesting question for me right now is, I think every one of you have a dream where your career ends, mm-hmm. or what you want to do after your career. So take a chance and talk to guys from the football cave. What's your last dream? I know, Mo, you are living day by day, but I think there's a dream.
Of course. So my dream job is to be a strength and conditioning coach at the collegiate level. So I'm actually pursuing that right now. I'm in school. I'm going back to school at Castle University to get my master's degree, and I'll be the GA, the graduate assistant strength and conditioning coach. And then from there, I'm hoping to land a job to be a strength and conditioning coach. So that's the end goal for me, to help athletes and inspire them to do what I've done, to play overseas or to just keep chasing your dream, because anything is possible when you put God first and you give it a chance. So yeah. That's it.
Yeah. And I kind of, you know, piggyback on what Mo said. I think for me, I want to be that guy to give the opportunity for something that I didn't have for myself. And that's just, you know, because I'm old. I'm not that old, you know. So the guys that I mentor, you know, they're around, you know, they're younger than me, but they're still relatable to me. So, you know, just catch, you know, being able to talk to them and being able to relate to them at a young age. And I feel like the younger you catch them and the more hard work you instill in them at a young age, because the group of guys that I'm mentoring now, I've known them since they were 8, 9 years old, and now they're 15 and 16 and they're comfortable talking to me about anything. So, you know, I try to tell them that it's not just about football, but it's about life. Like, you know, you can take this sport and literally go to school for free for 4 years just by playing a sport that you're good at. Yeah. And I tell them, I'm like, it's not, I say, you're already good at it. So if you fall in love with it, then four years of football for doing something you love. And that's what people don't have, what a lot of these kids don't understand. And then being from where I'm from, they don't think that they're good enough to play on the collegiate level. Right. And I try to help them understand and try to train them to show them that's not the truth. That's not the case. It doesn't matter where you come from. You can always make it.
No, that's true. I agree. I'm straight shooting for the stars, you know, aiming for the moon as well, you know. Everything that comes, I let it come, you know. Shout out to my agent, Sam Tiger. You know, she's definitely doing a great job as far as give thanks to Lauren. So,
okay.
Praise God.
Amen.
All the time.
Thanks to the
And Bobby, you want the last one? What's your dream? Where you want to start your career? Talk a little bit about it.
Yeah.
I had a plan, though. I was going to give, I would say chase my dream for my first couple of years. Since I'm fresh out of college, I'd give it to maybe the age of 24 or 25. That's basically, you know, playing professional ball, hopefully NFL maybe one day. But my plan B is coaching also on the college level. Also, I had got a coaching offer yesterday at my high school, but I don't know if I'm going to take it yet for sure. But I'm going back to school also in January. I'm going to be mastering in sports management. So I'm going to try to catch a GA job also.
Cool. Athlete in the scholar, my boy.
Great guy.
So maybe you just see one of you in the NFL, or maybe in some Netflix series. As a coach, as a personal trainer. So, do you maybe just following also the GFL, maybe you know about the teams, or do you have a favorite team in the GFL, maybe?
Paladin. I will say this. It's a funny story. When I first decided that I was going to play ball again, you know, internationally, the first league that I saw was the GFL. And I remember saying in my head, I saw it and I was like, damn, like they playing football in Germany? I said, I really made it like, it was like a goal for me. I literally looked at the GFL and the first thing that caught my attention was the G, F, and the L. You know, NFL, GFL, just sounded good. So I saw that and I looked it up a little more and I saw how many teams that were in it. Saw it was established in 1980 something. I'm like, this league been around for a long time. I said, this is a notable league. I know it is. I want to play in this league. And then I said 2-3 years later and Ingo got me sitting here, got the GFL right next to me on this league. So that's a blessing in itself. Yeah. But
how does it works? So tell us about recruiting the guys and then how things come together.
In my mindset, it's not an easy way to recruit the right guys because there are so many guys overseas. They want to come over to Germany and want to play American football. Mm-hmm. I told a little bit before, I'm very proud to give guys from the States the opportunity to play high-level football, because after college it's over if you don't get up the step to the NFL. But it's not easy to find the right guys, because there are so many guys in the States, they give you some messages, or they give you a call on a Facebook Zoom or a Zoom meeting or something like this, and said, hey coach, or hey board member, I'm the right guy because I could play every position, both sides, every time. I could play offensive line, defensive line, running back, returner, and I also could be the best coach and offensive coordinator. I understand it 200% because they want to live their dream. You have to take your right way to get what you want. But there are so many players, guy. And it's not only about who's the right guy for the playing system from the team. You also have to check who's the right personal guy for our team, for our club, for our coaches, for our team members, for our board members. It's for me, it's more important to get a good person to Germany who fits to our team, to fix to our coaches, and he don't make much problems. Yeah. In our last time, I think the most time we find the right decision with info players, but I definitely have some info players here in Germany where I was not happy with them because there was a big problem between the team or the players. They came on the field and they said, I'm the biggest football player in the world, and they don't bring it on the field. At the moment, I could say I'm so much happy to find four different equal guys, everyone is fixing in our team, and it's quiet because everyone knows what's my job, they play their job, everything is good. I know we have a young team, an easy team, but I think I do it transparent. with all of you guys, and all the guys are coming to Germany, because that's the most important thing, to talk clear words.
Yeah.
So all American guys, which are sitting now here around about the table, they know definitely what we have here in Solingen with the Paladins. And
we said,
yeah, you said Paladins because it's American, yeah.
That's
normally
not
called Paladins.
Yeah,
yeah, but I think that's the most important thing to talk on eye level, on a clear level. Everything is clear. There are no big issues. You know everything before,
right.
And that's not easy to explain it in a different language, with a hard feeling. Because for me, this club is definitely it's my free time. I do it in my free time. Everyone from the bottle in their free time, and I try to explain you why I do it in my free time, why I am a part of the Paladins. Yeah, and that's not easy, but to say the last words, we are proud of all the guys we have here right now, and big shout out.
Shout out to you, man. We appreciate it.
Last words for this question.
Okay.
I think after I've been here five times, today six times.
Six times, so he's the king of
yeah.
my podcast.
Okay. I know how it works. I know how it works.
Hail to King.
So only the last words.
Yes.
It's my record.
So, yeah, we have a lot of fun in our last...
Definitely, the head coach was with me
yeah.
in the podcast.
We have also Jens.
Yeah,
Webster
yeah.
coach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was the funniest part. Yeah, that's what sitting right here and laughing. So I just need to stand that close to pee myself. How can you explain that in the words you said?
In German, it's called "Wir befruchten uns gegenseitig." You could not say we have sex with each other. It's a little bit of German talking.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
said you don't find the right word. I can give you the right words. We have sex
with
that. There was a funny story. Yeah, we do this episode 1 week before you arrived here.
Maybe ending the GFL2 conversation with one question for all of you. Are you satisfied with the current season? Like today, maybe there are two games left. So, but right now, it's okay. It's not okay. It's good. Not good.
We should have an undefeated season.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
That's how I feel.
100%. There's always room for improvement. We all wanted to win. Everybody wants to win. Nobody likes to lose. So we wish that we played better. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so the goal is always to be better and get better each game. So that's it, to make improvements.
One thing I will say, the talent here is crazy.
It's good.
Like the talent wise, the age. Like, finding out some of the players are only like 18, you know, this is their first game. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, and I don't think we played a team that physically, I don't think we played a team that was physically better than us.
Yeah.
I think like everybody that we lined up against, we should have beat them. You know, but it, you know, football is any given Sunday, any given day. So it's whoever's better on that day. It was okay. Yeah, so that's just, you know, that's just the sport in itself, you know.
Stop it.
It doesn't matter if Alabama and, you know, whoever shows up, you still got to show up and play. You know, you can't just throw your helmet on the field and win.
Yeah.
You always got to come and play. And I think, you know, a lot of teams underestimate us too. I think a lot of teams look at us and they think that you know, they're not scared. There's no fear when they look at us until that first quarter comes and we hit them out.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, oh, shoot. Okay, this team for real. All right, so they really can't play. Now we got to play for real. And you can see some of the teams kind of get a sense of urgency or get it all together, you know, after that first quarter. But, you know, that's by the time they realize that they're already in a dogfight.
No.
Yeah.
No, I agree. I feel like we definitely, as a unit, we're not ever satisfied. You know, I think we got to take some things into consideration, which Bingo was honest with us about in our conversation about, you know, having young coaches, new coaches coming in. So we definitely knew what we were coming up against, and it was going to be a challenge,
right.
You know, every week.
We just
accepted
the challenge.
We accepted it as a challenge, and it's definitely a challenge, but, you know, we're definitely doing everything that we can.
Yeah.
You know, it's definitely a season.
So, football fans out there, just take a commercial break, and we'll be right back here in a few seconds.
Attention, attention. Now we have a commercial break. I want to say thank you in the name of all of the Paladins to get enough money to have a season like this, to pay all our import players, to make them a little bit more happy that they are without the money. And without you guys, we don't have the possibility to play this, what we love. Thanks a lot. And attention, attention. Now we are doing the second part.
Welcome back, you cavemen and women out there, listeners all over the world. I'm just joking. So we just right here in the... Not, it's not a cave, it's a dungeon.
The dungeon, yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's the dungeon.
So, okay, who's the sensei here?
you are
I think
right.
We got four senseis.
Yes,
we got different ships.
So,
Ingo is the sensei.
There you go.
It's called five...
four times Mr. Splinter.
Master Splinter.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh no, you are Splinter and that's the
we
the
Turtles.
Michelangelo.
Donatello.
Who's Michelangelo? Who's
give me Donatello.
Okay. So yeah, let's just talk about a little bit about your hometown right now, so Solingen.
Okay.
What do you know about maybe Solingen? So maybe something about the
so far?
What is
it? I know that Solingen is one of the only cities in the world to have the bus lines ran by energy.
Yeah.
And that's dope. And we can lean out our house and actually touch the bus line.
Oh, but it's
if we wanted to.
Yeah.
I know.
But so far I think the bridge was mm-hmm. definitely a cool thing to see. The knives.
Yeah.
I will say. The knives. Every knife I pick up here, it cuts straight through the chicken.
Yeah.
You don't even gotta have a blade for it. It cuts straight through the chicken.
8 to 10 steel.
Yeah, and other than that is the castle. The castle. It's where we get all our Klingenstocks from.
So, Schussburg?
Yeah.
Oh, that's where I live. So in,
is
it's,
it?
It's on the top, and I'm just living in the caves, right?
So, you're a king?
Maybe.
You're a
I'm just a paladin. I'm just a paladin.
Rock and Ragnar Rolo.
So, was just maybe, you know, so about Zoling, there's one sentence in the film from Bud Spencer and Terence Hill.
Okay.
I don't know if you know them.
It's a movie?
It's
you don't know about Spencer and Terence Hill?
Oh, the biggest.
Hey.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, and then in that movie they said, so one of them dropped a knife.
Okay.
And he said, okay, what is it? Oh, it's a postcard from Solingen.
Oh wow.
And that's worldwide. So.
Okay.
Yeah, that's cool.
I got it. Yeah, that is dope. My mom asked for a magnet. A fridge magnet. So I got one. Yeah. It's a Klingenstock.
Yeah, perfect. It's
yeah.
Right.
So
right.
That's the next question. So what kind of German words do you know about Jankaufbahn?
Jankaufbahn for sure. That's where we get
it.
That's where the
gets
you. I would say Nickerchen.
What?
Nickerchen.
That was
the most important
word.
Nickerchen.
The most important German word.
Ah, yeah,
there
okay.
is Nickerchen.
Okay.
A lot of that going on around here in the dungeon.
So that was just what happened to me last week when my wife had his had her bachelor party.
Okay, bachelorette.
So,
yeah.
Bachelorette. Sorry, I'm the bachelor. Yeah. And my a good friend of mine, we just were watching football. So the preseason games.
Okay.
The first one, everything's clear. The second one also, and the third one. I take a Nickerchen for half an hour.
So, woke up the next
yeah,
day, right?
No, on the same game, and I'm wondering, okay the Detroit Lions on the run. Okay, what happened? No, but yeah. Anyone else? Any words? Maybe so. Swear words, maybe. So,
wonderful.
So,
the difference with Matzo.
Yes,
there was a barbarian where I was last.
Yeah.
So like when they say hello, it's Sebos. You know,
yeah,
say
yeah, of course, yes, yeah, yeah.
I don't hear the Nuremberg words, man.
We in Zoling.
Zoling.
So I learned groups. Genau, alles klar.
Alles gut.
Alles gut.
In my mindset.
Yeah. So, also I remember is when Eminem was on a TV show in Germany. And he said that the good thing on German TV is you can say any swear words.
Yeah.
So and he said, okay, it's red and digs and something. Like that. You can say it on German TV, it's no problem. So for us, but I guess in the States it's a little bit different. So
yeah. Well, they let you curse on TV now.
Yeah.
It's changing.
One second, that's my favorite word.
Oh yeah, we got
Scheiße. He gonna have to blank y'all out the broadcast.
Forgot about that
word,
y'all boys.
That's great.
And Abstand.
Ah, yeah.
Back up distance.
God of,
yeah, that's another.
So it's like
stiffer.
One
side.
Off
gets.
Off gets, yeah.
That's
let's go.
One, you know what I'm saying?
Off gets, yeah.
That's Coach Tika's favorite word.
Yeah.
So say that.
Let's go.
Off gets.
Yeah.
Let's go and
that's
off gets is to say.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, if you want to be somebody on Abstand, you have to stiff arm. That's it.
Quite a little bit.
Moses Harris impression.
Yeah. yeah, let's go into the NFL. Any one of you a fan of a franchise? And if so, what kind of franchise? Team, maybe.
I'm going to say the best for last. I'm going to let them, you know what I'm saying.
New York Jets, man.
The Jets. I guess we went with the worst first.
Excuse me? Running back factory.
You said, excuse me?
That's really...
butt fumble factory?
Butt fumble factory. Call what you want, but at the end of the day, I got one word.
Quarterback right now.
Don't say Joe Namath, bro. We don't want to hear that, bro. We don't want to hear you say Joe Namath.
Legend. You know, on top of that, we have several other great guys who came in.
Nah, that's it. The great game. Martin, Joe Namath.
I can name so many guys out to the gangrene, but
it's all good. We good.
Anyway, Super Bowl soon, man. That's all I got.
I'm an Eagles fan.
Okay. They relevant in the past decade.
You see my smiling is in. It's okay. Everybody feel free. So
he's a Patriots guy.
I'm a Patriots guy. That's okay.
He says okay.
Big Dick Nick. So that's it. Swear with me one sentence. Yeah.
I'm a Denver Broncos fan. I'm glad, you know.
What's that?
Excuse me. It's two Super Bowls, you know what I'm saying, in the past. I've been to two Super Bowls the past 10 years.
You witnessed them?
Of course. Two Super Bowls in the past 10 years? Come on, bro.
I should have.
Hey, I've been alive for all four of our Super Bowls.
I'm trying to figure out if you've still been a fan this whole time or you just bandwagon.
Of course not.
There ain't nothing
bad. Right, there ain't no team to bad like.
That's right, bro.
So, what about you?
Oh, I don't have a favorite team. My favorite player is the best quarterback to ever play in the NFL, and you guys should know this.
Tom Brady.
Cameron Newton. Cam Newton is the best quarterback to ever play in the NFL.
Same Cam Newton, just
I'm just asking.
I like Cam Newton, but you know, I'll be a little biased when it comes to best quarterback in the NFL.
So do you have a role model of some player like Cam Newton, somebody else?
I would say Warren Sapp for sure.
Okay.
He's the first fat person I seen about my height that could dunk. One, he was dunking with ease, jump up and just dunk, 305 pounds, easy. And then I had never seen anybody move like that, you know. I feel like today's football is a little different from back in the day. Back in the day, they ate McDonald's and then played football. Nowadays, they eating broccoli and you know they eating. It's a different workout plan. It's a different day and age. You can tell they train completely different. But to see Warren Sapp just be a regular old fat boy, you know. And to do what he did on the level that he did it, to me, you know, it's music to my ears.
Ocho versus science.
Yeah, the McDonald's meal.
Hey, right. McDonald's.
Maybe for you, just who the best running back ever played?
Oh.
Maybe.
That's hard.
I don't know if I can really answer that question.
Top three.
Hey, man, don't put me on the spot like that. I got a collection of backs I look up to, okay. But... my favorite back, personally, is probably Adrian Peterson.
Oh yeah, okay. He's a good one. Yeah,
or Eric Dickerson, since we on the top.
You gotta go old school too.
You know, just for the tall running backs. You know, 2K in the season, both of them.
But do you have a role model as well? So maybe on the back position, or maybe something else. So I don't know.
Come on, bro. Just go ahead and say it, man.
Anyone? No. Okay. If not,
okay.
That's it. You want him to running back role model?
I just named two. AP and Dickerson.
Okay. I think you want to be a mix of all these guys.
Of course, that's I didn't want to name all 15. You know, go on.
Or maybe some defense player. Maybe.
Oh, defense players?
Something like JJ Watt or
Aaron
Donald.
Yeah, he's a more Aaron Donald guy.
I'm gonna say the top two for me right now. Just watching their playing style. And trying to take something from what they do is Aaron Donald and Grady Jarrett. Mm. Grady Jarrett, I think, is a real underrated, you know, defensive tackle. What really gets me is the fact that these guys are my size. That's what really, when I look at it, you know, being under, you know, coming up and being under, you know, undersized at a position, these guys really evolutionized that position. Mm. To where now you don't have to be 6'5" to play defensive tackle.
No,
if you're 5'11" and you're a dog, they're gonna recruit you. They kind of, you know, pave the way for that.
So, do you watch the Super Bowl?
Of course.
Of course, yeah. So, how do you do? So, with family, with friends, with... how is it?
My last two Super Bowls, I was in Mexico, man.
I was about to say, my last two, I was in college.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I just watched it with my teammates.
Right, I know. This past Super Bowl, the last Super Bowl, I actually watched it in a hotel room by myself. For the first time ever, I watched Super Bowl by myself. That was a little disappointing.
With tacos.
With tacos, yeah. Tacos, street tacos, right.
Okay. And you?
Super Bowl. Super Bowl.
He's a Jets fan. He doesn't. Yeah, Super Bowl. They don't got it. He said they don't got it. They
don't got it. He's never seen a Super Bowl. Everybody wants to know.
This year. This year. What you got? It's coming soon. But no, friends and family, you know. Yeah, just friends and family, wherever I am at the time. But
cheering for most likely,
cheering for another team with friends and family.
Any early Super Bowl predictions? Anybody?
Who you Tampa got, Bay.
All right.
And the Chiefs.
Again?
Ooh.
Yeah. And I would throw the Titans in the mix somewhere.
Okay. Detroit's going to the playoffs, though. So I'll just call that early.
Detroit. Okay, Detroit. Hey, you're going to have to run this back. Detroit goes to the playoffs.
Watch out, QB. Noah Whittle said, watch out for the Detroit Lions.
It's recorded.
Jared Goff,
yeah.
Yeah, they could do it. Matthew Stafford. Dang, Jared Goff. Damn, I should have been doing it.
So, okay.
That's all with my back.
Maybe it's time for another story. Maybe, I guess, Ingo just heard it before. So, the other part of that football cave, so Robin, my, it's like Batman and Robin. So, we just wanted to, because he just played defense, I just played offense.
Okay.
And so we have a contract made, so that Ingo's our special referee, and we have beside my house there's a river, it's called Eschbach, and we just wanted to, bashing each other in that river. Mm-hmm. So maybe see who's the better man.
Okay.
But I can promise you I'm the better man.
Okay.
I'm stronger, bigger.
Of course.
So and with that being said, we're just coming to the greetings of the week. So should I start or do you?
You start.
Oh, that's a long list. Okay. you can take a Nickerchen.
Okay.
I'm just starting with Ingo Hübner. Thank you for preparing that to me, and right now I'm just greeting all my guests. They're just entering the cave. Jeremy Bryson, Roman Motzkus, Andreas Heddergott, Jens Merten,
okay.
Dominik Rufalski, Sascha Hans Ewald, Eiko Dömel, Elias Knifke, Alexander Haupert, Daniel Rennig, Sonny Weishaupt, Markus Blessmann, Michael Tietke, your head coach.
Okay, Tietke.
Danny Farley, Patrick Pötsch, Joshua Ringler, Guido Schmidt, Daniel Buscher, and my friends Peter, also Sascha, Sarah, last but not least, Werner Klein. So that's it. And last but not least, there's some guy in a shopping center right in the next city, Herr Lind. I know you're doing a good job because he's on the meat and cheese.
Okay.
What is it?
Diet.
Of course.
Yeah.
And we're just starting talking about football.
Okay.
And so that's like I'm just greeting him every week.
Okay, gotcha.
Every episode. So now it's your turn. Greetings on the week of the week.
That's all right. Well, I want to give a quick shout out to my whole organization, the Zolingen Paladins. Because without them, you know, I wouldn't be here. And I want to give a shout out to all my teammates, man, because, you know, we've been working hard this season. We show up every day, you know, to practice. And we, you know, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears go into this. And we appreciate you guys, man. We know that you guys are doing this, as you know, as a hobby. And, you know, it takes a lot of commitment to be out here and really rock with us the way you guys do. So I want to shout out to Zolingen Paladins.
I'll do the same. Especially shout out to the O-line. I know you guys definitely been working hard, man. Great group of great guys, young. Want to say thanks to the coaches and everybody who put together the team and game day staff as well, man. You know, thanks a lot. And shout out to the imports too, man. Great group of new friends. So, yeah. Three men out.
That's all we need. What about you, Bobby?
Some greetings.
Mr. Cummings.
Over the sea, maybe. States or...
I say greetings to my family and friends back home, just in case they watch the video.
Yes,
greetings to Ingo again, right here for you know, recruiting us, you know, even though I was the last guy on his list.
Me too, me too.
We persevered through it, and we see the bright side and the good side of things.
So I'm going to take more shout out there. Let me give another shout out, man. Shout out to my son, Andre Rivera the second. You know what I'm saying? I miss you, man. I'm going to be home soon.
EOP.
Come
on, Mo. Go shout out to Harrison. Shout out to Harrison.
Shout out to Harrison. Go ahead.
Bin ich jetzt dran?
Yes.
Echt? Ich grüße alle Leute, die der Football Cave zuhören. Ich hatte mit Daniel viele, viele Gespräche am Anfang bei der Entstehung der Football Cave. Ich fand das ziemlich interessant.
Ach, du meinst mich?
Ja, genau dich.
Ach so, ja, also Longbow.
Longbow, ja. Entschuldigung. Daniel alias Longbow.
Ja, that's me.
Nein, ich hatte super viele interessante Gespräche mit ihm am Anfang. Solinger Podcast, Solinger Footballverein, das hat sich super irgendwie ergänzt. Und ich finde es super, dass ihr alle fleißig zuhört. Bock drauf habt, was er erzählt, weil auch ich bin ganz ehrlich, ich habe ihm jetzt auch den einen oder anderen Gast mal zugespielt. Ich finde es super interessant, da zuzuhören und einfach mal hinter die Kulissen gucken zu können. Und deswegen klickt, liked und tut, was ihr könnt, um The Football Cave weiter zu verbreiten. So.
Du hast es wieder getan, aber okay. Ich reiß mich
verbreiten.
Zusammen. Ja.
Okay. Ist nicht wie befruchten.
I have to concentrate myself.
Say it.
For a second. Okay. So.
But I want to correct one thing.
Okay.
Bobby, you are not the last guy on the list.
He's having a long day.
I know it like it was yesterday because we have 10 defensive backs on our list. if we prepare our list, you want to be on under the top three.
Yeah.
We have one guy on top one, but he getting naked in the chat with the head coach. So it was the first script. The second guy, I think he don't fix with our family, with our football family style. And then you are on top one.
Yeah.
So that's a true story. That's a true story.
Okay, so the end of the story is not getting naked to get to the Paladins.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you want a job here, keep your clothes on.
Don't get naked.
No, for real.
That's major though, for real, because, like, I mean, it's, you got to treat like it's your job.
Yeah,
you know?
Professionalism.
Yeah. Like, always. Doing something like that is really not being responsible.
I never heard that story.
Dude came with no shirt on.
Yeah,
durag.
He was laying in the bed, only boxer shorts on it.
No,
don't have a
pants.
And talking with the head coach, that's not professional.
Yeah, that's not professional at all.
After they are talking about Zoom, the head coach told me, oh no, he is quitting. I don't think about how good he's playing, how good he do his work, but he's not comfortable with our team because he don't see it as an opportunity to going a new job.
That's it.
Okay, so now we're going to the preview of my next episode. Now it's in German. Ja, liebe Höhlenmenschen, ihr habt es gehört, ein bisschen Deutsch, ein bisschen Englisch. Nächste Woche lohnt es sich ebenfalls wieder für euch anzuschalten und zuzuhören, denn in exakt 7 Tagen melde ich mich wieder wie gewohnt aus der eigenen Höhle und habe einen durchaus lukrativen und kompetenten Football-Sachverständigen als Gast an meiner Seite, der einigen von euch Podcast-Anhängern kein Unbekannter sein dürfte. Er hat eine in Deutschland durchaus sehenswürdige, natürlich. Da haben wir es. Football, Wortfindungsstörung. Dankeschön. So. Football-Karriere mit dem Ball in Flensburg, Hamburg und Wuppertal und durchaus darüber hinaus auch als Equipment Manager und Sportdirektor und Observer hingelegt. Goodness. Und ist bereits hier in der Höhle ein und andere Mal aufgetaucht. Darüber hinaus ist er zu einem guten Bekannten für mich geworden und er hat ebenfalls seinen eigenen kleinen Podcast, Wash Like a Champion. Die Rede ist natürlich von Andreas Heddergott oder wie er gepflegt sagen würde, natürlich. Ja, wir werden uns mit all dem, was der Football hergibt, beschäftigen. Die Saisonfinals der bestehenden Playoffs in der GFL und in der Elf, sowie dem wiederum bereits erfolgten Saisonstart am vergangenen Wochenende in Sachen College Football. Und natürlich darf der wenige Tage nach der Podcast-Folge beginnende Saisonstart der NFL nicht fehlen. Ja, wie ihr hört, es gibt also einiges aufzuarbeiten und zu analysieren, sowie einen kleinen Blick in die Glaskugel zu werfen. Passenderweise tragen mein Gast und ich die gleiche Frisur, Modell, keine Haare. Und wer weiß, was wir alles zu sehen bekommen, wenn wir unsere Platten nur ordentlich genug reiben. Ja, für euch Football-Fans und Höhlenmenschen da draußen wird es wie immer ein unterhaltsames, interessantes und nicht zuletzt aufschlussreiches Podcast-Fest. So, ja, with that being said, I guess we just at the end of our episode right now. Tja, what should I say?
You want to answer for the last words of that?
Of course, but I have a text to read.
A text read?
A text read, the next German text read,
then,
yeah.
Then do your job.
Okay. So, ja, liebe Höhlenmenschen, wie ihr gehört habt, also, wir sind am Ende der Folge angekommen. Die Überlebensfolge hin oder her, auch das geht mal irgendwann zu Ende. Und dieser Moment ist jetzt gekommen. 50. Folge von der Football Cave. Was ein geniales Special, das mir heute auch wieder unheimlich viel Spaß gemacht hat. Und ich muss zugeben, ich habe es sichtlich genossen. Das lag natürlich auch an unseren heutigen Gästen. So, thank you, guys, for that.
Bitteschön.
Dankeschön. Ja, die euch hoffentlich mit den absolut spannenden, interessanten Erzählungen, Antworten unterhalten haben. Und deshalb gilt dieser, also an der Stelle mein Dank an meine Gäste. Danke Mo, danke Noah, danke Andre und danke Robert. Or should I say Bobby? I don't know. Danke, dass ihr euch, dass ich euch in eurer Höhle besuchen durfte. So, thank you for visiting us. You, not us. You in our, in your dungeon. Danke für die ehrlichen, offenen Worte. Thanks for the opening and true words for all of you. And so, also thank you for giving our fans a little excitement of your career, of your professional thing. Und deshalb, liebe Leute, die Namen, your names will be in the story. So, for our football fans out there, give some love, spread some love for the guys. Yeah, so sure. I hope you get some new followers and some new fans, maybe.
We need them.
So, wenn ihr da draußen Anregungen habt, Kritik, egal was, longbow@web.de, ihr wisst Bescheid. Deshalb, wie gesagt, gerne auch wieder ein bisschen Promo machen. Erzählt es euren Freunden, Nachbarn, Kollegen. Du, Ingo, wirst es natürlich in der Mannschaft verbreiten.
Hundertprozentig.
Und ich bin ein bisschen traurig.
Warum?
Ja, es ist...
nach 50 nicht. Kommt 75 und dann 100. Warte.
Ja, jetzt haben wir es. So, we did it. And that means... the special thing is our guest for tonight. You have the last words. Anything you want
to
say?
My last words is going to be shout out to the Cave for having us here today. Congratulations on your 50th episode. You know, that's huge. We really appreciate it. We really appreciate you taking the time to hear our stories. And the Cave, hey, we on the way up. You know what I'm saying? Tune in to the next episode.
Definitely tune in, man. Thank you. Thank you to the Cave. Shout out to the Cave. Shout out Ingo. Shout out Coach T. Definitely thank you all to all the guys watching and to the future viewers watching, listening. Sorry, podcast. It's been a great season so far. We're just going to continue to keep rolling and have a great season. So thank you for your guys. Noah Whittle, number 3, slot receiver, running back. Over and out. God bless.
Shout out to the Paladins. The Cave, thank you for having us again. I want to give a shout out to my family back home, the Harris fam, the Slow Grind fam.
Thank you to the Paladins. To the listeners, we want you guys to come out and support us for the last 2 games as we take on Dusseldorf and Langfield. We need those 2 wins. So we would love for you guys to come out and support, and it will be a good show for you guys.
Ja, liebe Höhlenmenschen, ihr habt es gehört. Also, wir hören uns nächste Woche. We see you on Saturday, guys. And with that being said, we are out of here. 88 out the gate.
Moin, liebe Höhlenmenschen, ich bin's, der Patrick Pötsch. Ich würde auf jeden Fall sagen, das war's doch schon mit der 50. Jubiläumsfolge. Mega cool, dass ihr schon so lange dabei seid, falls ihr schon von Anfang gehört habt, aber auch mega cool, dass ihr jetzt schon zu und jetzt noch zuhört. Ich freue mich auf viele weitere Folgen von The Football Cave. Ich hoffe, ihr euch auch. Und einen wunderschönen noch. Tschüss.
Liebe Höhlenmenschen, ich bin Daniel Rennig. Und das war's mit der 50. Episode vom Football Cave. Ich hoffe, sie hat euch Spaß gemacht und auf weitere Folgen mit Bo und Robin. Bis dahin. Ciao.